coming up, a really tiny keyboard, a really giant phone, all the new Kindles, and an Xbox One. Stay tuned. It's time to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Before You Buy is brought to you by Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit TV shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Visit HuluPlus.com/BeforeYouBuy to start your free 2-week trial.
Welcome to Before You Buy, the product review show on Twit, where we get the latest, greatest stuff, and we farm it out to all the Twit employees and get an opinion from them as to what it's like to really use this stuff. Jason Howell is a producer of TNT, a host of All About Android. He also is a musician, and so whenever we get musical instruments and that kind of thing, we give them to you.
Absolutely.
Keith McMillan is a name I'm familiar with. Mm-hmm. We did another one of his devices.
The Cuneo, which I was very fond of. It's kind of a super portable drum pad, but controller, essentially.
So this is a keyboard version of the same thing.
Yeah, kind of. So, you know, it's actually very similar to the Cuneo. Obviously, the form factor is a little different, and what they're doing here is to mimic a keyboard layout. This is called the Q-Nexus. It's $149 from Keith McMillan. Just like the Cuneo,
wow, that
it
is
started
affordable.
As a Kickstarter,
huh.
Which seems, you know, Keith McMillan, they produce a lot of audio gear. It seems like Kickstarter they're using to kind of get a sense of what's going to be successful and roll it out.
It's not make it until they get enough people buying.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting approach for a staid and already established brand to do that.
Seeing this more and more. So yeah. This is a MIDI controller, essentially?
Yeah, more or less it's a MIDI controller. It's a piano roll controller, as you can see here, pressure-sensitive drum pad. So the difference is to think of it less as... It's basically a drum pad that happens to look like a piano, essentially. If you are a piano player, pianist, or, you know, have any sort of sense of kind of, you know, very delicate touch on keys and expecting, you know, a different kind of reaction, probably not going to get that out of here. It's possible. Some of the demos show this thing to be screaming, and you have to imagine that the person
that's playing, they
really have spent a lot of time playing on this. But kind of its benefit, and it was the same as the Cuneo, is just its insane portability. This thing is tiny, and which means that you can fit it into your laptop case. You know, if you're a portable musician, this is the easiest thing in the world to throw into your case along with either your iPad or your laptop, whatever. It's kind of ridiculous to think that you'd go anywhere without it, actually, if you're a portable musician. The keys are velocity and pressure sensitive.
Oh, nice.
They also respond to tilt, meaning you can hold it down. I don't have a preset that shows it off, but you can hold it down
and that'll
tilt the pitch up and down. All that is configurable on the back end. They have a really impressive software that allows you to kind of go in and really dial into all the keys.
So that's the question, because usually a MIDI controller is only as good as the software it's attached to. Yeah. Does this work with Logic and Ableton Live and all the traditional?
Yeah, so right now it's connected on the side here, micro USB into my USB port, and I've got it, you know, running into Pro Tools. I'm playing it upside down, so I'm not going to play anything very fancy, but just to kind of show you. And actually, Brian, if you turn off the lights real quick, you can kind of see, like the Cuneo, you get a little bit of a light show as well, if that's important to you. I guess in a live, like, DJ setting environment,
that's what it's for, right?
Yeah, probably so.
So you could have each key trigger a sound or a loop or...
That's kind of the beauty of a controller, right? It's laid out like a piano. It could really be anything you want. This could control lights if you wanted to, if you were hooking it up to the processor.
A lot of lights are MIDI, aren't they? Yeah.
So I think one of the big benefits of this is its connectivity. It not only does it do MIDI, it also has gate and control voltage. Out the
What's
side.
That mean?
And that essentially allows you to connect to hardware, like in many cases, kind of like more analog, old school hardware, instead of being controlled by MIDI, might be controlled by CV, which is control voltage and gate.
And I see so this allows you can also connect it directly to an iPad. Does it require the special software on the iPad?
It requires merely the Apple's iPad camera connection kit, which I think is like $30.
That's the USB to Lightning adapter.
And then it plugs right in, and you can
use
like TractorBand? DJ.
Or Tractor?
Yeah, pretty much all of those things.
Anything.
This is going to control it. That's why I say like it's kind of, if you do a lot of music making with your iPad, for example,
great for that.
Like why not have a tangible hardware device
right.
that you can connect easily with it that doesn't take up a lot of space? It's really cool.
Now, how do you compare this to the other
Qneo?
You know, that was $50 more. That's one thing. And
that
bigger.
That was a little bit more. You know, their layouts kind of appeal to a different use case, right? Like this, you know, a lot of musicians that are working inside the box, inside the computer, you know, they spend their time working in a piano environment, working with synthesizers, and that requires a certain layout. So this is obviously very good for that particular approach. The Qneo was more of a drum pad approach, right? Having said that, they could each be used for the other thing if you really wanted to spend the time setting it up and performing on it in that way.
Pros and cons.
Pros, highly portable, obviously. Interconnectivity. There's a bunch more. I didn't explain the fact that it has this kind of MIDI expander capability, allowing you to plug it into any 5-port MIDI.
So you could daisy chain it.
Yeah, you could do that. It also has pedal functionality, so you can plug in a pedal and control expression.
Neat.
So it's very functional for what it is.
For
very
the price, too. It's $150.
Yeah, $150.
Great price.
The pads are pressure and tilt sensitive, so very flexible, and the editor is very expansive. The cons, I'd say finesse is not necessarily its strong suit.
You can't just touch a key.
If you're trying to go in there and really kind of play something soft and gentle, it's kind of hard to do.
Okay.
But then I'm also not, you know, a career piano player.
Right,
so,
right.
And then there over here, just real quick, there's a little bend pad over here, which is kind of like your wah-wah pedal or whatever.
Sometimes those are dials on kids.
Yeah, exactly. And this thing is so small that it almost makes it unusable. It's kind of funny that it's there and you try and use it a couple of times. It's like, all right, you're probably not going to be doing that.
No bending here.
But that's a hard, you know, I was kind of stretching to find cons on, to be honest.
Really?
It's definitely a buy. $150. It's easy to drop that. And, you know, it fits in a stocking.
I just ordered it for Henry on Amazon.
There you go.
Because he uses Logic. You know, he's in college. Doesn't have a lot of room in his dorm. You know, I mean, it'd be perfect for him.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
He needs a keyboard.
Yeah.
Can you play something for us?
No.
Anything from Yellow Gold?
No, I can't, because it's all, you know, any of the stuff that I play on a piano, I record and then I edit it endlessly.
Yeah, I know what you
mean.
So
that it actually sounds
You're not
okay.
a piano player.
I'm not
words.
A pianist by any
awesome.
Stretch.
Awesome. That really looks great. That's the Qnexus MIDI keyboard. Another nice product from Keith McMillan.
Absolutely. I'm really impressed with their stuff.
Yeah. $149.99.
Yeah, great price.
Jason Howell, stick around, because I think All About Android's coming up.
That's right. I'm going to work on it
as soon as we're done here.
Yeah.
Of course, he's also a regular on TNT every Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC. We asked our own Father Robert Ballasaire, the digital Jesuit, to take a look at a really big touchscreen computer. It's the Acer 27-inch touchscreen, and he had this review for us.
Take your monitor. Now stretch it. Add a bunch of ports, attach some speakers, slap a touchscreen on top of it, a sleek stand behind it, and shoehorn everything into a sexy 1.5-inch thick VESA-mountable housing. Ladies and gentlemen, the Acer T27HL. The T27HL is basically a refinement of the Acer 7600U all-in-one, without the computer. It has the same general dimensions, the same unique adjustable leg, industrial design see-through stand, and the same ability to input multiple video and audio sources. Designed for those using Windows 8, the T27HL is a 27-inch edge-to-edge touchscreen monitor featuring 1080p resolution, a 5-millisecond response time, and a 60Hz refresh rate. Acer included HDMI, DVI, and VGA video inputs, as well as a single upstream USB 3.0 port, and 3 USB 3.0 downstream ports. Image quality is good, much better than I would expect from a 1920 by 1080 piece of glass. The vertical alignment panel gives the monitor a wide 178 degree by 178 degree viewing angle, and the LED backlight gives it acceptable brightness, good color saturation, and dark blacks. We found the response time to be perfectly suited for even the most twitchy games, and the sound from the integrated stereo speakers is good, but not great. Of course, the real story with the T27HL is the touchscreen. Driven by the USB 3.0 connection, the 10-point multi-touch sensor is smooth, fast, and nearly flawless. It interfaced with a variety of Windows 8 laptops and desktops and even a Surface Pro. One note of interest, the inclusion of a VESA mounting option is an acknowledgement that a monitor like this can be used on a desk, but it is most unique when mounted on a wall or a stand, places where keyboards and mice are not as practical. The first pro has to be the image quality. The T27HL has really, really good color reproduction. It's not like a lot of other monitors that boost up the color saturation to grab your attention. What you see is what you get, and what you get is a really high-quality image. Now, it's not just colors. Even though this is only a 1080p monitor, everything, even zoomed in, looks beautiful. It's crystal clear from text to images. That's what you get with a high-quality screen. The second pro has to be all of this. Everything that Acer has baked into the unit, from the bezel to the stand that lets it lay flat, to the VESA mount in the back so I can put it on things like this Ergotron cart, to the USB ports, to the inputs, to the integrated speakers, all those things let me do more with the product that I've already bought. And I like that. I think the third pro, of course, has to be touch. If you have a Windows 8 machine, you're missing out if you don't have a touchscreen monitor. Now, this is one of those things that you can add to your existing Windows 8 machine to get that new dimension, that new element, and maybe get a bit more out of your Windows 8 box. Now, on the con side, I think undoubtedly the biggest thing has to be that. Those six buttons on the side that form the interface are horrible. Acer, please fix this. It's counterintuitive, people get lost, and it just doesn't fit with the overall design of the monitor. You have an elegant monitor, a clumsy interface. No good. The second con has to be the speakers. Now, I like the integrated speakers. It's fine for just casual listening, but if you're going to be using this for an entertainment center, like I'm going to be doing, well, you're going to want something external with a bit more bass punch. The third thing has to be price. $550 is a lot of money for a 27-inch monitor, but then again, this gives you things like this design, like these features, and of course, the touch. So maybe $550 is a steal.
The Acer T27HL may not be the largest touchscreen ever to grace a set, but it is a fantastic combination of technologies, of features, and of design that is deserving of a good look.
All in all, after having used the T27HL for a few months, I'd say that for a Windows 8 user, this could be exactly the thing that you need to buy. I'm Father Robert Ballasaire with Before You Buy.
Well, that is big. Really, really big. Thank you, Robert. Robert Ballasaire is the host, our digital Jesuit, the host of This Week in Enterprise Technology, and soon a show with Shannon doing something new.
Ooh.
A little programming show. We haven't come up with a name for it, have we?
We have.
Oh, we have a name for it. Don't tell me. Surprise me. Shannon Morse is here. She is Snubs, the producer of this show.
Snubs.
Snubs. and has three new Kindles. These are the new Kindle Fires.
Yes, they are.
And I finally got my, it's funny that you're doing this today, because I finally got my HDX, the 8.9 inch yesterday.
Yeah.
I've been playing with it, but I'd like to hear what you think. So you've got the Fire HD, the little one, the HDX, and the big boy, the HDX 8.9. So give us a tour.
So I'll go ahead and start with the Fire HD. This is the small one. It's only 7-inch screen. It's very small. It's also pretty lightweight. It weighs less than 1 pound. It's at 12 ounces. But this one features a 1200 by 800 screen resolution size. So it's a little bit on the low side, but that's also because it's
cheap.
The cheapest one on the market.
It's really cheap.
So the one that I have here is the one that has special offers. And to give you an idea of what the offers look like, it basically just shows up on the lock screen. That's about it.
You don't see them anywhere else?
No, I haven't.
That's not bad.
So it doesn't show up on your home screen. And when you're going through here, obviously, when you're going to shop, you're going to see, you know, ads for different applications and whatnot. But that's really about it. This one starts at $139. Then the price goes up from there. That one is the special offer version. And I believe the one that does not have special offers is $169.
I think it's $20 more, yeah. Something like that, 20 or 30 bucks more.
Yeah.
It never, you know, I had the Paperwhite with the special offers. Never bothered.
$169,
yeah. $30
yeah,
more.
Yeah, so it's not that bad. So this one is pretty speedy with the processor. It's 1.5 gigahertz processor. You can get a couple of different options as far as memory goes. You can get 8 gigs or 16 gigs. Battery life is pretty good, 10 hours of battery life, and that's with a pretty active day, too. You can use it for playing video games and whatnot. The speakers are found on the backside of this. You also notice there is no camera on the front side. There's the power button right here, and then the volume button, and the two speakers are on the bottom corners. And then the only other things you have are a mic jack and charger, and it's a regular micro USB charger. So I found that these two buttons are kind of odd, and this is the same with all three of them, the fact that it's on the back instead of on the side. So it took me a moment to figure that out.
I couldn't even find it at first.
Yeah, I turned it around, and I was like, oh.
I know there's an on switch here somewhere.
There's got to be an on switch somewhere. So also, there is no camera on this version of it.
On the back or on the front at all or anything?
Yeah, there is no camera whatsoever, and there's also no additional memory slot. So you're stuck with either 8 or 16 gigs.
You know, for $139.
16 gig, that's the one that I would probably choose, so it's a little bit more expensive, but 16 is pretty good. So my pros on this guy, I think that it's a really excellent price. However, there are a couple of cons. There's no Mayday, and I'll get into Mayday in a bit. The screen is just okay with 1280 by 800 resolution, and there's no camera. I found that the volume, as far as the speakers go, is really nice. Watching videos on here is just fine. It actually looks pretty good whenever you're playing videos on here, and you also get the nice little intuitive IMDb feature over here that Amazon has included. That's pretty fun. And then you get some of the applications, but it's running on their Fire OS, so you're not going to get everything that you get in Google Play, which is unfortunate. So this one I had to give a try to, so it's pretty good.
Well, it looks good, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good, but of course this is the lower-end model.
It's the least expensive. Right?
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to move on to the next one, and this one is going to be the Fire HDX. And I have this one set up. Let me go ahead and power it on for you.
This is the 7-inch version.
Yes. So this is the 7-inch version of the HDX. Both of the HDX, the little brother and the bigger brother, this one that I have over here, they're both pretty similar as far as specs go. Like the insides, this one has a 2.2 gigahertz quad-core Snapdragon CPU, so it's a little bit better than its little brother. You can get 16, 32, or 64 gig options. Yeah, great photo, isn't it? It's amazing. So it obviously has a camera. You can do 11 hours of battery and a little bit more than that if you're just using this as an e-reader. And it also has the two dual speakers on the back. The camera on here, of course, it does come with a camera. It's a front-facing HD camera. And there are also no extra memory slots. So again, you're stuck with those different memory choices that you have on their website. So the resolution on this one is a little bit higher. It's 1920 by 1200, a lot better. The weight of it is 10.7 ounces. So surprisingly, this one weighs less than its little brother at 12 ounces. Mm. So you get a couple of ounces less, which I personally really liked. And if I turn it around, you'll see that the speakers are located at the top this time instead of down at the bottom like its little brother. But no camera, of course. So if I turn this around again, I'll show you what the camera looks like. It's pretty decent. I took a whole bunch of selfies. I know, I look ridiculous. And I made a couple of videos. So it has pretty good video. It's that 720p front-facing HD camera, so it's not too bad. And videos look great on here. I think they look quite a bit better. You can definitely see a big difference in the resolution.
It's 1080p.
This is
a full, yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Full HD.
It's very, very pretty. The speakers on here are really good quality with that Dolby 5.1. If I hold it up to the speaker, to the microphone, it's very clear.
Surprisingly loud.
Sounds good. Yeah. And it gets loud. Yeah, it gets really, really loud. So I like the speakers a lot on this guy. So I'll just go ahead and get straight into my pros and cons on this one. This one starts at $229, so pretty good price on it. And the sound quality is excellent. The screen is really great. It's also very fast and very responsive. Though the cons on this one, it's only one camera, and I really don't like the fact that they have the Fire OS, the 3.0 version
of this.
It's
Android, but
Google
you would
Play.
Never know, right?
Right?
It's
exactly.
It's an Amazon UI.
Yes, exactly.
This is Mojito. So,
I think it's really fun for anybody who's in Amazon Prime and they're buying things from Amazon all the time and they're really into watching videos and using it for TV shows and stuff like that, buying e-books on there and audiobooks on Audible, things like that.
If you're in the Amazon ecosystem, handy. It's made for you. I fired mine up. And of course, when you buy it from Amazon, it says, oh, it already knows it's Leo's Kindle. It's already logged in. So it has my audiobooks from audible.com. They're not downloaded, but they're all visible. All the music at Amazon Music. So I live in the Amazon ecosystem, so it makes sense for me. The Amazon streaming, all my movies, all my TV shows are already there.
I'm the same way.
It's not, you're not going to write a paper on this thing.
No, you won't. But
it's great for content consumption.
It's very good for content consumption. Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily say, like, hey, do your homework on this device. Because, you know, at that point, I would say go with a laptop, definitely. Not a tablet for that specific reason.
Right.
So I'll go ahead and turn this one on for you. This is my favorite one. Also, that one was a buy.
This is the one I bought.
So this is the Kindle Fire 8.9-inch. It's the biggest brother of them all. This one starts at $379, so it's definitely a little bit more expensive, and that's on the lower end. It also offers both Wi-Fi and LTE, which is great. So it costs a little bit more. I think it goes all the way up to $579 total for the different versions that you can get. But there's plenty of different versions available. You can get 16, 32, and 64 gig options. You can get 7 hours of battery life on this guy and 17 hours if you're actually just using it as an ebook.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, there we go. Keeps on turning off on me. So
I tapped out on it too.
I started playing that game and it's all your fault.
Don't stop.
This game is so much fun.
Silk really is Amazon's browser. It's supposedly a sped up.
It's pretty good.
It's decent. It's usable.
This is available on all three of them. It's pretty decent. Of course, it depends on how fast your wireless is wherever you are. But I was able to go up here and I was able to browse YouTube and pick up some videos.
Reminds me a little bit of Internet Explorer, the Metro version. It has that kind of feel to it.
Yeah, it feels the touch really focused. Funny.
Yeah.
It's obviously kind of a baby operating system.
Right.
And Silk browser. Yeah. Right. It just doesn't look all that great. So, but it's good for browsing if you just need to, like, you know, go to a website real quick or whatever. So I was playing with that a little bit. This one is a little bit more heavy. It's 13.2 ounces, but it still weighs less than an iPad Air.
Yeah, and according to DisplayMate, has a much better screen than the iPad Air in terms of color reproduction. I could notice the difference. I feel like maybe I knew ahead of time, but I feel like I can notice the difference. It really is a gorgeous screen. Very high resolution.
2516 by 1600.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really nice. Yeah. And it's still got that 2.2 gigahertz quad-core Snapdragon 800.
It'd be great for watching movies in bed or on an airplane.
2 gigs of RAM on here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very nice. It still has the same speakers on the back of it. It also has a 720p front cam and an 8 megapixel rear with a flash as well. But again, no additional memory slots on this one either. So the back of this looks just like its little brother with the speakers at the top.
Right.
This time you have the camera over here.
And the weird on-off switch on the back.
Weird on-off switch. So I noticed with this one, the sound was a little bit muffled whenever I was trying to listen to music. If I play one of these songs that I had downloaded.
Yeah, but it was fine for an audiobook. Not as loud as I would like, perhaps, but...
not as loud, so...
It's not bad sound, though.
The bass sounds a little bit muffled.
Yeah, it's like...
But otherwise, audiobooks are really nice.
Yeah.
I love listening to audiobooks on here, and listening to movies was perfect. I had so much fun listening to movies on here. Like, that's what I was doing
today. Did you try the Mayday thing? You know, they're advertising that where you press a button.
Do you want to see it?
Yeah. Okay. Can we make a Mayday call?
It is the funniest thing ever. So you click on the question mark, and it says, help, I need help.
This is calling a live representative.
So, what should I ask them? Because they actually come on screen, and they say, well...
No, ask him
I'll ask him how to set up a lock on my
There you go.
My front
can screen. I lock this so that nobody else can see it? Yeah. That's the thing about most of this stuff is it's pretty easy to do.
I accidentally exited it out of there. Okay. So it's going to take about 15 seconds to
somebody connect. Actually shows up.
Yeah. Then
that
they will show up down here.
Mayday. Yeah, they're going to wonder. They're going to say, what are you doing?
Hi, Paige. My name is Shannon. I was hoping that you could help me find the passcode lock that I could use on my lock screen.
Oh, did you already set it up?
No, I don't know how to set it up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, of course. So what we're going to do then is I'll see where the time is there at the top of your device.
Yeah, I see that. Okay.
All right, and then go into settings.
I see it. Okay.
All right. And then do you see where it
Do you see it?
At the second of the... Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
There you go. And then you see where it says lock screen password?
Yes, I see that.
So if you turn that on, it'll prompt you to enter a password and to save it.
Oh, cool. Okay. That's perfect. That's all I needed to know.
All right, great. Well, I hope you guys have a great day and enjoy your device.
Thanks,
Paige.
Thank
you so much. Have a good day.
Wow, that was really great. That is so cool. Oh, my gosh. Now, she didn't draw on the screen
thing.
And do it for you.
No, well, apparently
they have that capability.
They can connect to your screen if you ask them to.
Okay.
Like,
show me,
I
can't figure it out.
You have to give them permission.
You know, my mom would love this. Yeah. She'd probably call every day just to talk to somebody.
Like, that was a stupid, easy problem to solve. But if you seriously couldn't find something or maybe something was broken or you had an error downloading something, they could help you with that.
You know what I liked
it? Really funny.
She knew.
Yeah.
And she actually didn't have to refer to a script or anything.
She
obviously very comfortable with how it worked. And she knew, you go down here. It's like how a real person would
be. You get a different person every time, too. I've tried it 3 times already. I've asked them the same question every time, but.
You know what? I was a little skeptical about the Mayday thing. I could see, especially for somebody who's unsure about their first computing device, what a boon this is. That's
it obviously doesn't look as good on their webcam as it does in their commercials, but that's kind of a given. It still looks really nice. It's very clear, and there's no stuttering whenever they get on the webcam with you.
Now, I notice you have a strange case. You want to tell us a little bit about origami? This is one that Amazon sells with it.
These do. I don't have the specs on this written down for me, but these are the origami cases, and you can purchase these as accessories via Amazon.com. So I had 3 different versions available. There's a gray one, a pink one, and a black one. And they have them all specifically for the different kinds of tablets. So, of course, you can use this to set it up on different ways. I like this one specifically because I was able to set it both sideways and regular tablet mode. It was kind of
neat.
Cool. Yeah, it was cute. So it's a neat little origami case. I'll go ahead and give you the pros and cons on this one because I know we have plenty of stuff to go over this today in this episode. So this one was $379 starting off with. My pros on it, it's very fast, very responsive. It's got a really nice screen. And Mayday is hilariously awesome. My cons, the music with bass sounds a little bit muffled. And, of course, Fire OS is built on top of Android Jelly Bean, so you don't have the full Google Play Store. But overall, the 2 Fire HDXs, I have to give both of those buys because they're really nice tablets. They're very impressive.
Very nice.
Yeah. So much fun with Mayday.
I've only had it mine for a day, an evening, really, because I haven't played it with it last night. I was pretty impressed by it. That's
you
a nice,
totally do it.
Nice tablet. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun.
So, does it have Hulu Plus on it?
It does. Yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
Oh yeah.
Pretty much everything has Hulu Plus.
Everything has Hulu Plus.
Shannon Morse, the producer of this show, and host of soon to be the Coding Show.
Yeah.
What are you going to call it?
Do you want to know?
Yeah.
It's called Coding 101.
I love it. Take a ride down Coding 101.
Yeah, we're going to teach you how
That's
to code.
Coming in the next month on twit.tv, mm-hmm. Father Robert Ballester.
We'll be doing a couple of test shows in December on Fridays.
Good. Oh, good. Coming up in just a bit, we're going to review the successor to a very popular Windows notebook from Lenovo, the Yoga 2 Pro. We'll have a look at this really big phone. I've been very curious about this, the Lumia 1520, and I've got my Xbox One all set up. We're going to play with that. But before we do, I was just actually, first thing I did on the Lumia 1520 is I put my Hulu Plus on here. I love Hulu Plus because it means on almost any device, including the Xbox One, and when we get over there, I'll show you the Xbox One, lets you binge on thousands of hit shows. Your TV, your PC, your smartphone, your tablet all can support Hulu Plus. You've probably, tried Hulu.com, but Hulu Plus is so much more. With Hulu Plus, you can watch your favorite TV shows anytime, anywhere. Thousands of hit shows and movies in the living room or on the go with your smartphone, your tablet. And when you have a really big, phone like something like this, the idea of Hulu Plus on a big phone like this is fabulous. Jimmy Kimmel Live, Shark Tank. I just watch, when I'm a little down in the dumps, I like to laugh. I watch a Saturday Night Live episode like the skits. I don't want to stay up late on Saturday night. So I watch the skits, the best parts of Saturday Night Live, Family Guy. Every episode of shows like Lost, Doctor Who, every episode, Doctor Who, 50 years of Doctor Who. I think the first season they lost, right? So it's every available episode. Star Trek, even the original Star Trek series. Plus, check out exclusive content. Hulu originals like The Wrong Man's and Behind the Mask, which I love. It's the stories of the people, the men and women who wear the mascot outfits for major league sports. The Philly Fanatic. What is that guy with the thing in there? What is he doing? You'll also get access to lots of ad-free movies and great kids content, too. $7.99 a month for Hulu Plus. But right now, you could try it free for 2 weeks when you visit HuluPlus.com/BeforeYouBuy. HuluPlus.com/BeforeYouBuy. That's a special offer for our listeners with double the time, 2 weeks. HuluPlus.com/BeforeYouBuy. Give it a try. We thank them so much for their support of the Before You Buy show. I think Iaz reviewed the original yoga. Maybe not, but it seems to me he might have way back in the earliest days of Before You Buy.
I think he did.
Yeah,
he
don't you think like so? It. He didn't like it, did he? Mm-hmm. Well, we gave him the Yoga 2, the second, the successor from Lenovo. Iaz Akhtar, host of, is he around here?
He's on tape?
Okay, it says live. He's on tape, isn't he? he didn't want to be here. All right, Iaz Akhtar, host of TNT and the Know How Show, with a look at the Yoga 2 Pro.
I'm Iaz Akhtar, and today I've got here the Lenovo Yoga 2 Pro. Now, if it's a yoga, you know it's got that hinge. It's a 13.3-inch screen. It's got that crazy hinge. It can be a tablet if you want it to be. Not exactly something that you probably use as a tablet because it's a 13.3-inch display. You do have the keyboard on the back here, so it does make it a little bit strange. But this guy is super powerful. It's got the latest generation Intel Haswell processors. This one is actually an i7. So this thing screams 8 gigabytes of RAM in this model. The Lenovo Yoga 2 Pro starts at around $929. This model is about $1,300. It also comes in an orange clementine color if you want. This is the silver. If you go around this device, the whole device is covered in this like kind of rubberized soft touch kind of material. Makes it easy to hold, kind of resists fingerprints. The other thing is when you are using the Yoga in its many modes, it protects the screen a bit. Now it comes to the screen. It is absolutely incredibly gorgeous. 3200 by 1800 resolution. It's just fantastic when it comes to Windows 8. It starts at 929, and this crazy screen, the 3200 by 1800, is on all of the devices. It's not like when you get the lower end version, you get a 1366 by 768. You're getting this crazy display, even with the lowest end model. That's why it's pro, I guess. Windows 8 is really text-heavy, so a high-res screen makes text really easy to read on something like this. It is just a phenomenal-looking screen. However, software hasn't caught up exactly to this device, a screen like this. Let me go into Chrome to show you what that's like. Now, this is Chrome running on this device. I haven't done anything weird to this. If I hit Control-0, this is how it displays because this is actually filling in the resolution. Again, this is 3200 by 1800. So Chrome has a ways to go when it comes to displays like this. So it might be strange at first. You can just, you know, hit Control plus until it looks normal, but you can see I've zoomed in 250% because that's just wacky. Thankfully, Microsoft's own Internet Explorer doesn't act like this when it comes to this Windows 8 device. On top of that, Lenovo added some software. They called it Yoga Pix. So if you wanted to find applications specific for the different usages here as a laptop and the show mode, this is the other yoga mode, but they call it stand mode. That would be when you want to watch TV, and you watch it like that. And there's also the tent mode. If I click that, it'll actually give me a set of different applications for when it's like this, in tent mode. So we're in tent mode, so I can go ahead and come right into this and go into Windows. If I go into the start screen. Oh, right, because I have it in tent mode. The keyboard is turned off, by the way. That's something people are concerned about. If you got this, if you're holding it as a tablet like this, you're like, oh, I'm going to touch the keyboard. It's going to mess with this. The keyboard is off once you have it set this way. So I can keep tapping here and it doesn't work. That's a good thing. You want that rejection. It is a little strange because you're touching buttons there, but that's just a quibble. For ports, we've got a USB here. We've got a headphone jack combination with mic jack. We've got a volume rocker. And we have this switch, which will turn off auto-rotate. So you can accidentally hit this. It's not recessed, so you can easily hit it. Also, they have the unusual selection of putting the power button over here. You can see it actually glowing, letting you know that this is where the power is. Lenovo says it's recessed, so you don't accidentally turn it on in your bag. Other side, you got that power port, we've got a USB 3, HDMI, and a full SD card slot. And there's really not a whole lot else to it because it is an Ultrabook. You can see this thing is really responsive. Considering this is using Intel integrated graphics to push this kind of resolution, it's surprisingly fast, very snappy. Performance-wise, just terrific. Obviously, it's getting a ton of fingerprints. The Lenovo Yoga 2 Pro also supports up to 10 points of multi-touch, so if you want to get lots of hands on there, you could. This laptop packs a 4-cell battery. It would have been nicer to have a larger battery in here to get some better battery life. On to the pros and cons. When it comes to the pros of this device, it is absolutely gorgeous. It's so thin, so light. It's under 3 pounds. That display is just beautiful. If you look at other displays after it, your eyes will be ruined. I'm not kidding, because this is fantastic. Great reproduction right there. You've also got crazy fast processor in here because it's the latest Intel processor. This model, again, with the i7, just screams 8 gigabytes of RAM. Really great. It's light, but it's sturdy. It's very sturdy feeling. You never feel like you're going to bust it. Keyboard's very good. It's a Lenovo, so it's quite good there. Trackpad supports all the things you want it to. You'll see this, the charms come up, no problem. The gestures that Microsoft wants you to be able to use on the touchpad work quite well as this touchscreen. Very responsive touchscreen. On the cons, these are small quibbles here. It is slightly awkward as a tablet because you do have these keys. I don't know how often you'd use it as a tablet, though, because it is such a large device. But I do know Lenovo did come up with a better version of this for the ThinkPads. I would have liked the tray to come up so it fell flat. And another little quibble, the power button is in a kind of a weird spot. Just get used to that over time. And this is a super minor quibble. This little shift key on the right side, I would prefer that to be a full size. So if this is how I'm reaching for cons, you're going to hear something you don't hear from me very often. The Lenovo Yoga 2 Pro is a buy because it's a fantastic device. I really enjoyed using it. Super fast, super light, and performance is great. I'm Ayaz Akhtar, and this is the Lenovo Yoga 2 Pro.
Yeah, baby. Well, I was thinking after the show, you...
Oh, hi. Welcome back. Thank you, Ayaz Akhtar. Ayaz is the host of TNT, of course, Monday through Friday on the Twit Network, and every Thursday of Know How, where he shows you how to do all those things you always wanted to do. You like my phone? It's really big. It's really red. It's really new from Nokia. We decided to let Tony Wang take a look at the Nokia Lumia 1520. Tony?
I'm Tony Wayne for Twit, and before you buy, and today I'm reviewing the Nokia Lumia 1520 Windows Phone. The 1520 is the latest phone from Nokia, and it is huge. It is 6 inches, and it's not 5.95 like the competition. It's actually 6 inches. Just to put things in perspective, it's the same size as the HTC One Max, and it's bigger than the Galaxy Note 3 in terms of footprint. So what do you get with this huge package? You get a clear black IPS LCD display that's readable in any light condition, even in direct sunlight. It's 1080p. It's the first Windows phone to have 1080p, but it's definitely not the last. On the back of the phone, you'll see 3 connectors for optional wireless charging cover, which is not available yet, and it is also not the built-in Qi standard that Nokia usually has. It is PMA in America. On the back, you'll find a f2.4 Carl Zeiss 1 2.5-inch sensor, which is smaller than the 1020, but it is definitely no slouch. You can still do 2x lossless digital zoom on the 1520. The equivalent millimeter is 26 millimeters, so it is pretty wide. With a huge 6-inch display, it's actually very, very easy to compose your photos. And with a dedicated camera button, you probably won't miss a beat trying to capture that moment. And if you have a subject in motion, you have dual LED to help you stop it. The review that I have here is red, and it's a glossy plastic red, which is gorgeous, but it just attracts a lot of dirt and lint and fingerprints. The phone's powered by Qualcomm's latest Snapdragon 800 quad-core 2.2-gig processor and 2 gigs of RAM. The phone does come with 16 gigabytes or 32 gig built-in storage, but only 16 is available in America. And you can always have micro SD expansion up to 64 gigabytes But keep in mind that you can't store all the software on there. It's usually only used for media. The phone has crazy battery life, 3,400 milliamp per hour. To put that in perspective, this phone was in standby since this morning for about 4 hours and it drained 3%. So Nokia calls this a monoblock touch design, which is pretty much the standard now for Nokia's phone design, and it is gorgeous. Pros and cons of a Nokia Lumia 1520. It's 6 inches. There's so much real estate on the phone itself, on the home screen, that it actually takes advantage of all the active widgets, the live tiles, and you really don't have to scroll much on the home screen anymore. Another pro is the 20 megapixel 2x lossless zoom pure view camera with OIS. And the build quality, of course, is Nokia, so you know you're going to be getting a really solid phone. And if you look at the display around the edges, this phone is actually built like a tablet. There's actually a rubber trim piece around the display where it meets the body, just like the iPad. Con of the phone, one con I've noticed is that the glossy plastic actually picks up a lot of unwanted dirt and cat hair. So buy, try, or don't buy for Nokia Lumia 1520. It is definitely a buy. It is the highest spec Windows phone, and it is the best camera in its class, and it's awesome. I'm Tony for Twit, and before you buy, and this is the Nokia Lumia 1520.
So you know, we put the TriCaster in. It's pretty cool, right? I guess we're back. So, Russell, I should hang up on you because we're done having our business discussion over the Xbox. Xbox, hang up. Xbox, hang up. There. Okay. It worked. Okay. Xbox, call Radford Castro. Call Radford Castro. Maybe the PBS Xbox is too much. Xbox, call Radford Castro.
Radford Castro.
Nick. Look what I've got.
Xbox, call Radford Castro.
Her name's Honey.
Okay, well, that didn't work.
1520. And now, as you might have guessed, we're taking a look at the Xbox One.
We'll call it manually.
Oh, it's going to call Radford Castro now.
Controller.
So when you think about a game console like the PS4, the Xbox One, what do you think about? You think about games. These are some of the launch day games. A couple of launch exclusives, Rise, Son of Rome, Dead Rising 3. And, of course, games that are on all the platforms, including Call of Duty Ghost. But the truth is, a lot of what the Xbox One from Microsoft does is more than gaming. It's gaming plus. For instance, we're using the Skype right now. And by the way, watch. Go to see. You see the Skype screen, our Skype picture in the lower inset. Watch. If I get out of the shot here, I got to hide from the Kinect.
I'll go down.
It's going to slowly zoom over to wherever Alex is. And I got it's hard to see, get a yeah. See, it's following that. Alex around.
Now if you walk back in, it'll
it's doing that digitally. It also knows that I'm here. And we're going to show you that in a second. Hey, Radford, see you later. Thanks for joining us. But this is an amazing thing,
Xbox,
to sit in your
up.
Living room. Xbox.
Xbox, hang up. Good enough. Okay.
It's listening to you.
All right.
This is the Kinect module. One of the reasons the Xbox costs $500, $100 more than the PS4, is this. This is a requirement. You can no longer buy an Xbox without the Kinect console, the Kinect module. This is a camera over here. It also has an array mic here. It's listening all the time, and it's on all the time. Now, that scares some people. And if it scares you, you probably shouldn't buy this device. Of course, you can always disconnect it. But a lot of the features and a lot of the appeal to me of the Xbox is the Kinect.
Sees.
So let's put it back over here where we set it up. When you move the Kinect, you're supposed to reconfigure it. And I may have screwed this up.
Put it back where it was. And
put it pretty much where it was and hope that
it... So this is actually what the Kinect sees. So this is just the regular RGB stuff.
And notice it knows... Oh, it doesn't know me.
Doesn't know you.
Is it going to know you?
Yeah, it might. We'll see. So it's also got infrared that it's tracking and also depth. So if my hand's up close...
It's a Z-axis as well.
Yeah, it'll change color depending on the depth of it. But let's try here. If you
I'm too far away,
now,
probably.
And go ahead and I'll step out of the way, and then you sign in and press the button. It should go back to you.
Xbox, go home. It knows that it's me, that I'm logged in. This is the new Xbox controller, very similar to the old one. I think the biggest improvement is a better, much better D-pad, and no longer a bulge for the batteries. These batteries, by the way, are the same batteries that came with the Xbox, the alkaline batteries I installed when I got it on the day one, which was last Friday. And I expect it to last a few more days. This is with pretty heavy use. These batteries last well, although I will be using rechargeable batteries in here. It does have a connector, a USB connector that's not for charging. That is just for controlling it. If the batteries die, you can still play a game by being connected directly to the USB panel.
It's for charging if you have the Play and Charge kit.
Pardon me?
There's a Play and Charge kit that you can buy that's got
a battery. You can buy something that will add it in. Yeah. You know what? I just have a nickel metal hydride recharger, and I just keep batteries ready to go. This is the Xbox console. By the way, one thing really improved. Listen carefully. Do you hear anything? On the old Xbox 360, you would have heard a jet engine taking off. One big muffin fan in here keeps it, not only keeps it cool, but keeps it cool very quietly. Even when I'm using the disc, I don't hear a lot of noise. You hear the normal, you know, access noise. But this is actually a very quiet machine, which makes it very suitable for the living room. Unlike the PlayStation 4, the Xbox One's power supply is external. Some people don't like that. There's an advantage to it. It keeps the thermal... the heat out of the box. I don't mind it. It's behind my credenza where my TV is. It's out of the way. That's fine. But let's really talk about what the Xbox does best, which is, of course, play games and, frankly, I'm going to take my earpiece out. It's driving me crazy here. Sorry about that. Play games. There we go. Oh, it's so quiet. Play games and as a media center in your home. I just think this is a phenomenal device for the living room. The ability to make Skype calls is phenomenal. Xbox Home. Xbox. Hello, Xbox. This is giving me a list, by the way, of all the commands I can say. Go home. Go home. Does not work perfectly, I admit, but it does work more often than not. And it's really nice to be able to watch a movie, for instance, and to pause it in the middle. I'll show you over here. These are my pinned icons. YouTube, Skype. It does support Netflix. It does support Hulu Plus. I've got Amazon Instant Video. Actually, let's watch real quickly some Amazon Instant Video on here, because one of the things I really like is that I can pause the video and resume it with my voice. If I get up, I want to answer the door. I'm not signed in. Well, we'll just have to do that another time. But if I want to get up, I could say Xbox pause. It'll stop the video. I could say Xbox play. It'll resume it. You have a lot of commands available that make it very much easier. But really, if you're going to buy it, you're going to buy it for the game. So let's talk a little bit about the games. Oh, one more thing I just wanted to show you real quickly. Kinect can also be used to scan barcodes, and this is kind of a nice feature. A lot of times, for instance, Dead Rising 3 comes with a barcode with some additional information. I can say, Xbox, use code. I can even be in the middle of a game and do this right now. Xbox. Maybe not. Xbox. Hey, Xbox. Xbox. Use code. And then I can watch this. I love this feature. Just hold the QR code up to the camera here, and it adds it. I think that's pretty cool. I think that's pretty cool. Yeah, I think I'll take that day one exclusive for Dead Rising 3. That was pretty neat. And so you don't enter in a lot of codes and stuff. Let's go back to Rise, Son of Rome. This is one of the Xbox exclusives. And one of the things people point out with the Xbox One compared to the PlayStation 4 is it isn't 1080p on many of the games, or any of the games as far as I can tell. But I have to say, it feels pretty smooth, pretty fluid, and it looks great. This is a fun game. You play a Roman centurion. There's the Emperor Nero. I've got to help him. All right, you want me to go in there, Nero? All right, let's do it. And I don't think you're going to look at this and say, even on a big screen, I watch this on my 55-inch OLED, I don't think you're going to say, oh, golly, the graphics are terrible on this. I think they're quite good. And it sure is a lot of fun to play. Oh, let's not show this violence. It's just too horrible, too violent for words. Oh, stop it. Oh, stop it. Oh, my God, the humanity. Press yellow, press blue, and he's gone. Anyway, a lot of fun. Okay, stop it. Xbox Home.
Go home.
I'm sorry, I always say the wrong thing. Xbox, go home. Well, you can always press the home button to do that. You can also snap, by the way, which is fun. So you saw earlier Alex had a Skype call going on, but he was also watching live TV. That's one of the things that's really different about this, the ability to watch TV with this as an overlay. That's because the Xbox does something different. Like the old Google TV, it does a pass-through, so it's not going to take an additional HDMI input. The Xbox actually... It takes the input from your cable or DirecTV box and passes it through to your TV. Oh, we never did set up the DirecTV on this one. Did we?
I did.
Oh, you're the man. So we're going to see how you can watch TV. I can snap. For instance, they have an NFL application. I can snap to the corner. We're watching TV. There you go. All right. So give me a command. Let's say Xbox.
Show guide.
Show guide. It doesn't hear me. I think because we moved it around, it's not hearing me as well as it used to.
Those were in a noisy, somewhat noisy studio.
Xbox, show guide. Show guide. I've been using this in my home environment, even with loud TV going on, and it works really well to be able to talk. You can say, Xbox, watch HBO. And it will jump to that channel. It actually knows what channels are available to me. It shows the programming guide. I can go to shows. I can go to channels. We're not getting the best results in here. I think it's because probably I need to resync this after moving the Kinect around. Xbox, watch KGO. I guess we don't have HBO on here. But you see, it gives you a list in green of things you can watch. Watch ABC.
I don't think the infrared is bouncing.
That's another issue. All right, let's talk about that. This really worked really well. You tell it what receivers you have, what cable box or satellite box you have, what TV you have, and then it floods the room with infrared and bounces it off. Now, our DirecTV box is nowhere in the infrared line of sight from this device, so it's not going to be able to control that. That makes sense.
It was earlier, so...
Where is our... Our box is where? It's right there. Oh, it's down there? All right. But it does, in fact, work quite well to control the receiver. When I say Xbox turn on, it turns on everything. I can change channels directly. And at home, it works quite well. There were a few little glitches. One, my very recent Samsung OLED TV, it didn't know about that. I've heard from some people that the Pioneer Kuro TVs, it doesn't have that. But these can all be updated very simply in software by Microsoft. It works very well. It's a universal remote control. If you decide you don't want to use voice control, you can, of course, always use the Xbox controller. And what I really like is Microsoft has made a free app, a smart glass app, available on every platform, iOS, Android, and of course on Windows Phone, that lets me do a lot of things directly. You know, let me do it on the big one here. I got the Lumia 1520. We can run the smart glass app on here. You'd be able to see it a little bit better. I can see everything that's going on. I can control it. I even have a remote control right here, so I could press this to go back to Xbox Home. I should be able to. I wonder what's going on. You know, I have a feeling that we have lost connectivity with this Xbox. It knows we're watching TV. I could pause it. I should be able to pause it.
We don't have a DVR. So the pausing and stuff only works.
That's for the DVR. I think, and I also think this is not seeing it very well. Oh, sorry. Let's try that again here. You see, it's not...
Well, you are home.
Oh, I am home. I didn't notice. Everything's live inside the home thing. There are some people who are talking about the fact that it is like the PlayStation 4, a very horizontal layout. And I guess as you add more things to pinning and stuff, it may start to fill up. But I find that you have pretty good control of what you want to use. There's some really great apps on here. This is the NFL app, which allows you to watch a lot of NFL video. You can say what your favorite team is. It's not so much different from going to NFL.com, except it's a lean-back experience. It's on the big-screen TV. I have to say, there are a lot of negatives on the Xbox. As you can see, it's not perfect yet. But the promise of this being more than a game machine, and I've played all these games, by the way, and had a lot of fun doing it. The promise of it being more than a game machine is really exciting. This is something that really belongs in my living room and can do so many things. I don't need a Roku or an Apple TV. You can't watch iTunes, obviously, but if you watch Amazon, you can use that. You can keep track of your friends and their achievements. You can have your gamer avatar. You could see... this is This is Alex, who's apparently doing all of this stuff. Oh, wait a minute. That's because we were doing it. But I can also scroll down and see what iJustine. She's playing Forza Motorsports. Paul Thurrott, he can't stop playing Call of Duty. It's really fun to be able to see your friends, see how they're doing. It's very social. I can, as I'm playing a game, for instance, record 30 seconds of video. What's the command? Xbox, save this video, something like that?
Record that.
And it will take the 30 seconds that just went by, save it, and upload it automatically to its upload site. They don't support Twitch.tv yet. They don't support 3D Blu-ray yet, but they are presumably going to add that in the future. Blu-ray movies play very well on this. That's another big asset added to the Xbox One. All right, I know this has gone on and on. In fact, I haven't even really scratched the surface of all I can do. But let me give you the pros and cons of the Xbox One. In terms of pros, it's a lot quieter and a lot cooler operation. I think we could safely say the red ring of death is dead. It also has a Blu-ray player finally, which means I can use this as my Blu-ray player. No 3D yet, but that's coming soon, I'm sure. I love the integration with my home theater. It did it flawlessly and easily, including remote control. It becomes, in effect, a universal remote control that allows you to use your iPhone, your Android phone, or your computer to control it via smart glass, Microsoft second screen technology. The games are pretty playable, you know, but that is, if we talk about cons, is the real con. You cannot play Xbox 360 games on this, and that means you have to play the games that you know, the games that have come out specifically for this, and right now that's fewer than 20 games. There'll be more, I'm sure, in time, but it is somewhat of a limitation. If the games you see are games you want to play, that's a good sign. Of course, they do have some of the bigger titles. Call of Duty Ghosts and Battlefield 4 are really fun to play on here. And the games that are exclusive to Xbox, like Rise, Son of Rome, and Dead Rising 3 are also, I think, quite good. I haven't played the Zumba game yet. I can't speak for that. I have played some of the Kinect games, and there are downloadable games. I have the Kinect Rivals, which is a sports game. And that's another pro on this, is that the new Kinect, completely redesigned, doesn't have many of the downsides of the old one. The old one, you had to move furniture out of the way. You had to be 10 feet away from it. You can do the Kinect right up next to it now, and that's a lot of fun. So all in all, I have to say this is a definite buy. I am very happy I got the Xbox One. When I started hearing about PlayStation 4 and all the great things it could do, I started to feel a little bit bad that maybe I'd chosen the wrong device. I'm very excited. I think the Xbox One is great out of the box and is getting better all the time. Here's all the commands. They have Microsoft published this today, a list of the Xbox commands, and I guess I'm just going to have to use this as a cheat sheet for a while. Let's see. Go ahead.
Xbox, show my stuff. It's not regular.
It heard Xbox. It didn't hear show my stuff.
But it went to your home. I don't know if it's because I'm not usually signed in on your box. It may
now, this is kind of cool. So when you come in and sit down, it can recognize up to six people. Facial recognition means that it will know it's Alex. It should, in theory, show Alex's Xbox home. There it is. Configured. Now, that's kind of amazing. That is all of your pinned stuff, all of your apps.
So I'm going to pass the controller to you, and then you hit the home button.
And see if it goes back to me, right? We've messed with this a little bit because, yeah, and now I'm logged back in. You see me, and this is my unique home screen. Things like that make this very interesting. When you go over to somebody's house with an Xbox One, if you have an Xbox One, it'll know about your games. It'll know about your movies. It'll know about your login. It'll automatically recognize. You can recognize six people in the room, put their names over each of them, and as you hand off the controller, or you have, if it comes with only one controller, but if you have more than one controller, it allows you to participate together in a very easy, fluid way. I feel like this is the beginning of something big. Not exactly perfect yet, but I think very impressive. A definite buy, even at $500. And, of course, I expect in the years to come it'll get less expensive. They'll probably be slimline and, of course, a lot more games. Really, a really nice game machine. That's it for this edition of Before You Buy. Sorry for the long review there, but there's so much to show, and there's a lot more we didn't even get to. I hope you enjoyed the show. I want to thank all of our reviewers, Tony Wang and Shannon Morse and Jason Howell and Ayaz Akhtar. I want to thank you for being here. We do this show every Tuesday afternoon, about 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern time. That would be 2400 UTC on twit.tv. If you can watch live, do. Otherwise, on-demand audio and video available at the website, twit.tv/BYB. We have it on YouTube. In fact, we have each review on YouTube individually, which means you can go there and say, hey, let me send this this review to somebody. I want to share it with them. Twit.tv, I'm sorry, YouTube.com/beforeyoubuy. You can email us at byb@twit.tv. All right. We're done. Thanks for watching. And remember, each and every week, you got to watch before you buy. See you later. Bye-bye.